Okay, welcome to episode 3 of House of Burdens podcast. Chris and I are sitting here. The kids are upstairs playing with Chris's mom. Why, Chris?
Well, this morning I woke up nice and early around 5 and I think I'm in labor, which probably means I'm not. But no, I think I've been second-guessing myself today because I've had so many contractions over the past couple weeks that it's really hard to discern what's what. But I had a few other signs today, so I'm pretty sure this is the beginning of the slow day, probably. Hopefully followed by a speedy actual labor.
Right. And this is...
makes any sense.
This would be the real start as opposed to a week and a half or 2 weeks ago when I just got it in my head that the things you were experiencing then were the initial signs of labor, and I started canceling meetings. And
well, that really felt like it, I'll have to say. But once I got up out of bed, everything kind of slowed down, and things have slowed down a little since I got out of bed, but not entirely. I'm just feeling contractions with a little more intensity. I'm feeling it in my back. I'm feeling it low down. They're still really irregular at this point. But still coming enough that it seems like there's something going on.
Believe you me, today's the day.
Or tomorrow morning.
Maybe. It's today. I'm making the call right now. Let's see. It's 10 minutes to 10, and I'm saying, baby, on the ground. Well, not literally on the ground, but baby having arrived by, I'm going to say, 6:15.
Wow. PM. I think that's pretty ambitious.
6:15 p.m.
He's going to put me to work. You got something you want me to build?
We're going for a run right after this.
Maybe we could go make some window boxes now. Yeah. Get out the saw. Chop some wood, maybe.
Well, that's not unreasonable considering the past couple of days. You know, I came into the living room and Kristen's, like, rearranging furniture. Like, not just, like, you know, little furniture, but big chairs.
Well, they weren't that heavy, though. Yeah. I just wanted to see what... And I did paint the trim in the kitchen because it was easier than cleaning it.
Let's talk about this raspberry tea.
And the raspberry leaf tea, which one of my midwives recommended at my appointment, which was yesterday.
Well, what did you read that the raspberry tea was?
Oh, well, the raspberry tea, she said, is just overall really good for you. The thing about raspberry tea is you have to get the raspberry leaf tea, first of all. You can't get raspberry tea in your regular grocery store tea section. That's just black tea flavored with things that generally aren't even raspberries, like blackberries and other flavors. But anyway, you get the real raspberry leaf tea. You can take it through your whole pregnancy. And all it does is it's supposed to tone your uterus, essentially. When you do have contractions, makes them more efficient. Supposed to speed up labor, supposedly. Supposed to help with postpartum recovery, with lactation, with all kinds of things. It sounds like a miracle drink. Women all over the world swear by it.
I'm just curious as to why, if it does all those things, and if it consistently does all those things, like, why don't doctors and midwives and nurses recommend it at the outset of pregnancy for all women? Like, they prescribed iron pills for you when you were iron deficient, but they didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no, I do. Well, I think that, you know, the testing is still kind of out on stuff like that, although I'm sure there have been tests. Yeah, I mean, you have these things because they're based in herbal, you know, usually, you know, indigenous people found this and they've been using it for centuries, and even though some modern people use it, it kind of gets like, oh, okay, well, that's just one of those native, like, I think it just kind of gets passed by, like, no, this is something that maybe works, but we're not gonna.
But
it's not
really
considered modern medicine.
But is that really true, though? I mean, you know, because I look at, you know, aren't a lot of medicines, you know, derived from...
They are.
You know, I mean, aspirin, nobody sure. says, hey, I'm not going to take aspirin because it's willow bark.
No, lots of powerful drugs obviously started off as herbs or are herbs in some sort of chemically altered form, but this just kind of stays in its natural state. It's not altered into a medicine or a pill or nothing. I guess,
but I just, you know, I
think it just there becomes association with something, and people either. I'm not saying that it does all those things, because I just don't know. But clearly enough people use it, and...
Again, I'm not being skeptical. Well, I am being skeptical, but I'm not being derisive. I'm saying it's possible that it really does all those things, but I can't help but think, boy, if I was a major pharmaceutical company spending, you know, billions on research and development every year, I would certainly research something that had all these amazing properties. Sure. and try and market it at some ridiculously high price.
Well, the tea was very expensive.
Right, but it wasn't marketed by, you know...
no, it was like Yogi Naturals or something.
Right,
like that.
Right. So, I guess I wonder about all the, you know, so with all of the kind of home or folk remedies, you know, I can't help but wonder,
well,
if they really kick butt, then wouldn't some big pharmaceutical company start marketing its own version of those?
There's another thing you have to keep in consideration.
Yeah.
Things go in and out of fashion. Health things go in and out of fashion. Like breastfeeding and, you know, different kinds of parenting.
How much was it?
Oh, it was like $5. Uh-huh. I don't know how many packets were. How much does tea usually go for?
Well, it's like, I think, you know, it depends.
It's about three.
There's a
four.
Big range, like $250, $299 for the herbal tea stuff.
Yeah.
And it goes up.
And this one tastes, it doesn't taste like much, so if you might want to put some lemon in it and some honey. It's not offensive at all. It's just pretty mild flavored tea.
It doesn't swear at you.
It, no, not at all.
Sweet.
If it tastes like raspberry, you probably got the wrong thing. So,
cool. Well, so that's labor. We're on the way.
Although, you know, this whole time we've been talking, I haven't really felt. My back is really achy, though.
We'll go
Maybe
for a
I'm
walk.
Having
right
back
after
labor.
This. Could be. We'll go for a walk right after this. And
yeah, we're gonna.
So
go
we'll keep this short. We're
gonna go
keep,
for a jog.
We're gonna keep this short. Other thing I wanted to mention this week, separate, completely separate from labor, is Paste Magazine. Rick gave us Paste Magazine as a Christmas gift, and I don't know if you've never seen it. It's like a kind of a pop culture magazine for, you know, I'm not sure of this, but judging by it, it's sort of the pop culture magazine for the VH1 crowd. You know, it's
no, I don't think so.
It's kind of for old people. I get
no, it's not.
Are you sure? I mean,
so I'm old.
Well, older. Not you, me, them, us, Rick.
Keep peddling. Rick. No, that's, you're not old, Rick. None of us is old.
Well,
no,
we're just not kids. I mean,
well, it's not for people who,
I no longer fall into that desirable 18 to 35 year old demographic.
I still think it's too hip for me.
18 to 35.
I still
34.
Feel like it's too hip for me. So I think it's like for people who are like, oh, I don't know. 20,
oh, come on. It's
26
like,
to
you know, they're reviewing like, they're reviewing in this, I brought down this issue that had, oh, no, that's not the latest issue. They're reviewing like Leonard Cohen's new stuff. And I mean, come on. It's,
I listened to Leonard Cohen when I was in my 20s.
But
I'm not in my 20s anymore.
Right. And you know, and how long's Leonard Cohen been
around?
And I'm not saying anything against Leonard Cohen, but I just don't know if he's cutting edge. I mean, maybe he still is. But that couple issues ago, it was, you know, Christopher Guest and...
Yeah, the Christopher Guest movies. We just saw one the other night.
So anyway, no, it does. You know what it feels like though, and I this is why I brought it up, wasn't to suggest that it's for old people and you should ignore it, but to say the two really cool things about it is that it's like a Cliff Notes for pop culture for people, I think that maybe don't have time to stay immersed in it. I think once you're not in high school or college anymore, you really don't have time to stay immersed in pop culture.
Okay, well tell me, let's look at this page, a seasonal assortment of our favorite holiday gifts. This was the Christmas issue, I guess, or
yep.
Holiday season issue. And are these things hip? There's the Le Sport Sac. Does that look... It's a multicolored duffel bag, it looks like.
It doesn't look hip.
Yeah, but are you hip?
No.
Would you know hip if it hit you over the head?
No.
I think it's really ugly, personally, but It's got a lot of orange and blue, but these are all like retro colors, I think. So, and look at these shoes. Would you wear those shoes? Are those for a man? They're like plaid, like espadrilles. What are those? Is that what those are called? Espadrilles? They're called Tom's shoes.
I don't know if I would wear those shoes. If somebody, you know what? If somebody gave me those shoes, I would wear them. Because that's how I deal with clothes. If somebody gives me an article of clothing as a gift, I wear it. I almost never pick out my own clothes.
Well, for every pair bought, a pair no, that's is not true. Donated to children in Argentina who don't have shoes, so they have to wear these.
This is an interesting.
I think I would go without shoes.
You know, this is actually an interesting concept. This ties in with that whole red. I mean, it doesn't tie in, but it seems kind of parallel to that whole red concept that they're pushing now, which is kind of like charity by consumption. So everything you buy, you know, this certain percentage goes to charity if you buy it from these particular companies, and that's supposed to be really good. And I guess it is. The criticism has been that. Well, instead of buying yourself something new, like, hey, I got to have a new MP3 player, and if I can buy it from the right company, a portion's going to go to charity. Well, maybe I don't need anything new, and maybe I'd give the whole chunk to charity.
Yeah, but a lot of people wouldn't do that, so they figure if this is the way they can get people to feel good about giving who don't normally give anything, then it's a start.
Well, I suppose it is, and I'm not opposed to it. I had seen a.
I mean, I think I would be more likely to buy something that, if I had a choice, I said, "Oh, this is some of the proceeds from this are going to go to this." Then yeah, well, that might color my decision. I might say, "Yeah, okay, I'll go with that company." If you know, but so I mean, I don't know. I don't know that it's a bad thing, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah, the campaign was Join Red, and if you it's at joinred.com, and if you buy these items or objects from specific places, it helps eliminate AIDS in Africa, I guess. You know, if you buy this red Motorola Razr cell phone or the red iPod.
Well, don't they have things that you can just buy just where the proceeds go? You just buy like a wristband or a pin or it's things that you would normally buy for yourself, but that just where all the proceeds go to the charity. I mean,
well, I don't think all the proceeds go to the charity.
Oh well, some of them.
A percentage of them do, and you know, and I think, and you have to wonder, like, for the companies that are doing this, they're probably giving less to charity than they would have spent on marketing if they weren't getting their marketing for free because they're doing a charity campaign or whatever.
Right.
Anyway, I don't know. I don't want to be overly skeptical of it. I read some really scathing satires of this particular program. But then again, you know.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a start for people who maybe don't even think about charity. If they can go, hey, I bought this thing and I really wanted, I was going to buy it for myself anyway, and part of the proceeds go to. You know, maybe it's just a way for people to get thinking about giving.
So, yeah.
It can't be all bad.
Totally off the track from Paste Magazine, which, good summary of pop culture on a monthly
basis.
This
podcast is stalling my labor.
And then the other good thing about it is they give you a CD sampler with 20 songs on it every single month with 20 new artists or whatever. And that's actually, it's been great. I've loaded those onto my MP3 player every single month, and then have been creating a playlist out of the ones that I really like. And I actually, for the first time in probably 4 or 5 years, have like, 15 or 20 new artists that I really think are cool and that I might actually buy the album for someday. So,
When's the last time we bought a CD?
No, I bought a CD recently.
Really? What did you buy?
Who did I buy?
Well,
I bought.
I can't think of the last time
I bought lots of MP3s. Like, I bought.
Oh no, I know. Well, that makes more sense to download your.
Yeah, I mean,
that's true.
I don't really like to buy the whole CD usually, unless it's a concert. Oh, the let's see, I bought.
But
Modern Times by
environmentally, it makes more sense to download your music than to.
Well, and I never read liner notes, so I don't. I guess I'm not an audiophile enough to.
We don't have room for CDs anyway.
So, but I did buy Modern Times, the Bob Dylan CD,
which is really good.
And listen to that a lot.
I think it scares the kids a little, but...
Yeah. Well, he's kind of growly.
He's kind of growly, yeah.
I guess that's the last CD I bought. But you know who I want to buy, based on my Paste magazine listening, is one of the Shins CDs.
The Shins.
Yeah, that's very cool stuff. Anyway.
See, that sounds hip, the Shins, I'm guessing, from someone who...
Yeah, of course, I pretty much assume by the time I get to anything, it's probably not cool anymore. So.
Not necessarily.
Except in a retro
way. Get lucky.
Anyway. So that's Paste Magazine. Really cool. Recommend it. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick.
Good present.
We like it a lot.
The Vonage. We have Vonage and for our home phone, and it looks like it's time to start getting rid of this, which is probably the very thing that Vonage executives are dreading.
I could probably just stop paying my bill. Except it's deducted automatically. I don't know how I'm going to get out of that.
We just have to cancel it. But anyway, the reason that we're thinking, boy, we ought to get rid of Vonage, is we don't use the home phone that much anyway. We mostly just use our cell phones, but we have this Vonage account that we're paying for at home, and it's not that expensive, but it looks like Vonage is not going to last that long anyway.
Yeah.
They're either, they have lost a lawsuit with Verizon, right?
Yeah, I think it's like a $58 million lawsuit, so it's not a little thing.
Yeah, their stock price has plummeted. $58 million in damages plus 5.5% royalty rates for future use of Verizon's technology.
And of course, I just recommended them to some people.
Yeah. So I'm thinking Skype.
I'm thinking I just don't really care because nobody really calls me.
Well, I don't hear that, people.
Nobody calls me.
Well, this actually is interesting. I mean, I use our home, that Vonage line, so infrequently.
Well, you don't even know the number.
Well, that's right. We called for Kristen called for Chinese food the other day and asked me to pick it up on the way home. And I went into the restaurant and the woman said, "What's your phone number?" And I said, "Mine." And I give her my cell phone number, which is my phone number. And she's like, "No, what's your phone number that you called from?" And it was like a quiz that I couldn't answer because not only don't I know it, but I don't even have that one programmed into my cell phone. Because if I call Kristen, I call her on her cell phone, which I know she will always answer regardless of where she is. And so,
well, one less time.
Yeah, but you're more likely to have your cell phone near you than you are the home phone.
That's true.
So I have no idea why we have this line. But anyway, so this bad news about Vonage's financial state is probably the catalyst that we need to drop that account and just save that money.
No, as long as it's still working. I mean, once it stops working, I guess that's when I cancel the account.
Yeah, but we just don't use it.
People call once in a while.
Right. Well.
Like telemarketers. No.
They could call your cell phone.
No, I really don't. The telemarketers. I really don't get a lot of calls. My mom calls me on it. And my sister, and occasionally the doctor's office.
Right.
So, but anyway, yeah.
So I think you're right. I think that this podcast may be stalling labor, though. It's certainly stalling something, or maybe it's just stalling.
Maybe I need to walk around. I think I need to walk around a little bit. Get things going.
All right.
Although I'm still feeling just kind of a general... See, this is what I was afraid of, because I had to call my mom, who lives an hour and a half away, almost. And, of course, you don't want to call way before you think, you want to really be sure, but you don't want to... all the midwives were like, "Don't wait too long, because it could go really fast this time." So... Yeah, it's just, it's worse. I think it's worse with each labor because you really just don't. The first time, you think, "Oh, I might be in labor." And then when it hits you, you just know. You're like, "Oh, I'm definitely in labor now." There's not a lot of, but with each pregnancy, I have had more and more of these blasted pre-labor contractions. And they can get very intense. Mine get very intense. You actually can see my abdomen push out and harden. Like, the midwife and I were talking the other day, just sitting there, and all of a sudden she looks down. She's like, "Oh, I see it." You can just see my abdomen contracting, and it, they're very powerful, and they're not, you know, it's not like there's another contraction, no big deal. They're pretty intense, and so it's hard. It's really hard to tell. Yeah. Really hard to tell.
This Sunday is Palm Sunday. Next Sunday is Easter. Very exciting on it, you know, for a whole array of reasons. But
chocolate.
No.
Chocolate. Butter and chocolate. Big bunnies.
No.
And dressing up for church, which is always fun.
No. It's this whole resurrection, eternal.
No, that I meant that. That was, I just assumed, you knew that was first and foremost.
Right.
Second comes chocolate.
But during this whole Lent period, I have I had this at the beginning of Lent, this kind of spiritual direction session to sit down and chat with the priest. And one of the things he had recommended, because I was explaining how fragmented my brain is always, and I'm lack focus, I guess. Well, I in a good way. I mean, it helps me a lot, I think, in the day to day to make kind of connections and jump from thing to thing and then
jump
back.
You're a good multitasker.
But anyway, one of the things that, I was looking for a way to deepen my prayer life, and he recommended Eucharistic adoration, which for anybody who's not a Catholic, the transubstantiated host is displayed in a special chapel, and people go and pray. And if there's a perpetual adoration set up at your church, it's basically every hour of every 24-hour period, somebody's sitting there adoring or praying or keeping Jesus company. And I
staying up with Jesus, not falling asleep, right. Basically.
And so I signed up from an hour every Wednesday morning and before work, and so I go in there, and I have you have really an hour to kind of pray and focus. And I think even if you weren't a Catholic, finding an hour to do something sacred that involves trying to be quiet and be attentive and listen would be difficult in this particular time that we live in, and especially difficult for me. I mean, I saturate myself with media constantly, and I'm the kind of person who, if I'm alone, I bring a book to the table, or download MP3s.
Even when you're not alone, bring a book to the table.
I've always got some kind of media going on.
It's true.
And even if I don't, I'm always thinking about a million things, or kind of have those doom darts going off in your head. But anyway, this has been kind of an amazing experience, because I'm finding that out of that hour, a lot of it you're thinking about trying not to think about stuff that's not relevant to this experience, and then or trying not to notice people's stomachs growling who happen to be kneeling in there and praying with you too, and all that, or trying not to notice your own knees aching or your back feeling uncomfortable or stuff like that. And then
you're not kneeling the whole time, are you?
No, you don't have to. No, there's chairs. You can sit, you can kneel. Good. You can go back. I find that I sit and kneel and sit and kneel, mm-hmm. and kind of go back and forth. Yeah. And you can read, they have a Bible in there. And,
right.
But out of, I think the first time that I went, out of that time, I really found maybe five, maybe a few more minutes that I was totally there. Totally there in the moment, in the prayer, in with really kind of silent, actively listening for God. And this is that was a really difficult to achieve and kind of unique kind of moment that, also, I guess, kind of, sounds a little mystical, but it didn't, I think it felt less mystical at the time and more just this real relief. It was mm-hmm. Pretty amazing. But it also kind of blew my mind that it took, an hour to get 5 minutes worth of real, genuine contemplation.
I'm not surprised.
And I don't even know if it was
anyone.
Yeah, I don't even know if it was real, genuine contemplation. I could probably be much more contemplative if I had a brain that worked like that a little bit better.
Well, I think it'll be good conditioning for your brain. I think it's hard for people to sit quiet, and that's a problem that that monks have, that I've heard monks talk about. is that the time spent in silent prayer and meditation and reflection is the hardest time for them. Yeah. Because it requires you to, even though they're in a monastery, they still are dealing with other people, they're still dealing with work that they have to do, and it's so hard to not empty their heads, but to get clutter out. They find it one of the biggest trials. Most of them will say that that's one of the biggest trials that they have, and they're, you know, that some of the most holy people. Yep. So, I mean,
yeah. Yeah, well, it's very difficult. And, you know, I liked what you said in terms of when we were talking about it afterwards, that reminder that a big chunk of prayer doesn't necessarily have to be us babbling at God, but a big chunk of it could be listening for what God's trying to say for us. And that again, involves this being quiet. And that's hard to do. Mm. And then, I was chatting about this with Rick the other day. He pointed out that, you know, that those distractions too can be part of it. That you know, acknowledging them and as part of your overall experience. I guess, you know, it's that challenge to be present to a moment. But when you're present in a moment, you got to acknowledge the things that are drawing. I don't know. It's complicated. But anyway, it's we've been at this a long time. We'll probably have to edit pieces out to make it.
And I feel like my labor's completely stalled now.
We got to go for a walk. So we'll catch you next week. Some more tea. At which point, certainly the baby will have been born because, what time did I say? Because
you said it's going at 6 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, 6:15.
Well, I better get jogging.
Yep. So by 6:15 tonight, mark my words. If not, it will probably be, well, we'll have to look at time zones.
I think it's going to be tomorrow. I think it's going to be April 1st. I just have a feeling.
6:15.
April 1st. I'm calling it right now.
Today?
I'm still 30th. The closest. Today, my guest date is still the closest.
March 31st, 6:15.
What do I win? Because I'm closest either way. Closer than you anyway. What do I get besides a baby? And a lot of joy.
Well, I we'll have to figure it out. Maybe somebody can email us at burdenfamily.net.
Maybe some of these nice plaid espadrilles.
Yeah, suggest what Kristen ought to win if she has guessed correctly, or what I ought to get if the baby comes at 6:15
diamonds
tonight.
Are, like, always a good.
Anyway, hasta luego, folks.
Goodbye. Good night and good luck.
This week's music is from Mozart para Bebes y Niños, which we found on PodSafe Audio. It's, I think, an album from Peru. This is Mozart's Arrabassa Sinfonia 29.